If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on this Valentine's Day Monday. I'm Tony DeCoppo.
I'm Vladimir Dutier.
And I'm Michelle Miller.
A lot of love in the air, though, this morning for Rams fans in Los Angeles. They are celebrating the city's first NFL champion since 1984, back when the Raiders won Super Bowl 18, and I was but a child. This time, the Rams whooped it up in their home stadium with thousands of their fans after beating Cincinnati 23-20. The last time the Rams won the Super Bowl 22 years ago, they were based in St. Louis. Nate Burleson spent most of Super Bowl week in Los Angeles, right in the middle of the action, and he joins us this morning from SoFi Stadium, site of Super Bowl 56. Nate, the Joe Burrow magic ran out, 4th-and-1, fourth quarter, and your friend and former teammate Matthew Stafford is now a Super Bowl champion. We're going to ask the players, did they sleep? Did you sleep?
I got about 2.5 hours, but I had to show up and show out for everybody at home, and that's perfectly fine. Tony, we talked about this last week, how exciting this game was going to be, and it did not let me down. Hollywood's best writers couldn't have scripted a better ending to this game. I mean, it had everything. Huge plays from the biggest stars, late game heroics, and of course, tears of joy from some of the NFL's newest champions.
It was a storybook ending to a Hollywood thriller as the Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp grabbed the game-winning touchdown, capping off the LA Rams' come-from-behind win in Sunday night's Super Bowl. From the start, the showdown in Tinseltown was all about star power.
Finally, it is time for the Super Bowl!
With a rousing opening from Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Stafford, going to the end zone.
Explosive plays from the game's best players.
West Coast makes some noise!
And an epic halftime performance headlined for the first time by hip-hop royalty.
Now let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West.
Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg with a show-stopping performance by Mary J. Blige.
Wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay stub.
LA's Prince of Hip Hop, Kendrick Lamar. And Anderson .Paak drumming for Eminem during a performance of his Oscar-winning hit, Lose Yourself.
Play action, finding room, going deep, and it's caught by Higgins.
Cincinnati opened with a third quarter touchdown and took control of the game. Then, late in the fourth quarter, Stafford marched down the field and linked up with Cooper Kupp to take the lead.
Burrow trying to keep it going, gets spun out.
But it was the all-time great Aaron Donald, the future Hall of Famer on LA's defensive line, that sealed the game with a 4th-and-1 sack, gesturing to securing his ring and delivering a championship to the City of Angels.
I'm just so happy. I wanted it so bad. I dreamed this, man. I dreamed this, and it's like, it's surreal. Look at this.
It was an emotional ending for so many players, including 13-year veteran Matt Stafford, who entered this season without a single playoff win and ended it in a bath of confetti, playing with his daughters, finally a Super Bowl champion.
Again, today's the story of our season. You know, it's up and down. It's tough, and we're a freaking tough team. Showed up late and got it done. I'm excited.
Matthew Stafford wasn't the only longtime veteran to win his first Super Bowl. My guy, Rams offensive lineman Andrew Whitworth, Big Whit, got his ring after 16 years in the NFL. At 40 years old, he is the oldest active player in the league and still doing it at a high level. And he joins us right now. Big Whit, how are you doing? Congratulations, man.
I tell you what, man, it's awfully special. A lot of people, a lot of people to thank. You know how it is. It's the whole organization. There's so many people that go into this. Just an unbelievable feeling.
Big Whit, I got to ask, how did you celebrate? I mean, have you even went to sleep yet?
I have not. We went to a little after event with all the family and friends. And, you know, I spent some time with Matthew and Cooper and just some of the guys, just fellowshipping and reminiscing. And, man, it's awfully special. I'll tell you what, it makes it a lot of fun when there's so many guys that you want to win it for. And to see all those guys enjoying it just makes it extra special.
You mentioned family. We're looking at images of you with your kids. How does it feel to share that moment with those that are so close to you?
I'll tell you what, it's really special, Nate. I mean, you know, I look back to 2018 when we lost the Super Bowl. I had a moment where my wife is holding one of my middle son, Michael, and he's bawling, crying, and I flexed up my muscles up at him and told him to stop crying because we don't cry. We just handle situations and move on. And then tonight to win it, I remember looking up at him in the stands and flexing the same way at him and telling him, now you can have tears of joy.
Big Whit, if it wasn't for the salt and pepper in your beard, I couldn't tell how old you are. I mean, you're dominant on the field, and you still look good. But at 40 years old, I have to ask, what's next? Are you retiring? You coming back to football?
I don't know yet. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that we'll sit back after the season ends now, and these next couple weeks, those decisions will be made, and, you know, I'll reflect on what's important for me and the family, and obviously sit down with Sean McVay and just talk about, you know, what we think the next chapter is. We'll sit back and kind of see what's next for both of us and see where it goes from there.
Walter Payton, Man of the Year, and now Super Bowl champion. Nobody more deserving than you, my brother. Congratulations. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
The Los Angeles Rams are world champs. It's one thing to wake up as a football player. It's another thing to wake up the next day as the champion in the NFL. They're the best team, and they can look in the mirror and say so. And speaking of the best team, I want to toss it back to my crew back in New York.
Hey.
Oh, we appreciate that.
Really happy for the hometown guys, but I have to say, that was a tough one to watch. Joe Burrow just
why don't they run it fourth and one? That'll be the question.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Old school football.
We don't need a second guess
cool.
This morning.
Thank you so much, Nate. Well, turning now to the growing crisis over Ukraine, our David Martin reports that some Russian troops have moved out of assembly areas near the border with Ukraine, but are not yet in attack positions. U.S. officials believe they could invade within days. President Biden and Ukraine's President Zelensky spoke yesterday and agreed to pursue both diplomacy and deterrence. Weijia Jiang is at the White House. Weijia, good morning.
Good morning to you, Michelle, and good morning to everybody. On that phone call, Ukrainian President Zelensky invited President Biden to Ukraine, saying it would be a powerful signal and could help contribute to de-escalation. Now, that call followed Mr. Biden's conversation with Russian leader Vladimir Putin over the weekend, which failed to yield a breakthrough. While the White House stresses that a diplomatic path remains open, officials also say that an invasion could happen at any moment. Sources tell CBS News, the Biden administration is preparing to withdraw all U.S. personnel from Kyiv within the next 12 to 36 hours. On Face the Nation, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan warned that the Russians could be devising a plan that includes framing Ukraine for starting a war.
We also are watching very carefully for the possibility that there is a pretext or a false flag operation to kick off the Russian action, in which Russian intelligence services conduct some kind of attack on Russian proxy forces in eastern Ukraine or on Russian citizens and then blame it on the Ukrainians.
NATO allies are also trying to hammer out a diplomatic solution. Today, the German chancellor heads to Ukraine before going to Moscow tomorrow. Vlad.
The entire world holding their breath. Weijia Jiang for us at the White House. Weijia, thank you. The outcome of these talks could determine if President Putin decides to invade. Ukrainian forces are doing exercises of their own right now, but they would be vastly outgunned if Russia were to attack. Holly Williams is in Kyiv for us. Holly, good morning.
Good morning. This is the U.S. Embassy here in Kyiv, from where all American personnel will be withdrawn in the next 48 hours, according to our sources. Meanwhile, Ukraine's government continues to urge calm, and life goes on here pretty much as normal. But make no mistake, people are worried. A farmer's market on Kyiv's John McCain Street. The late senator is loved in this country, in part because he pushed America to send weapons to Ukraine. A Russian invasion could cause up to 100,000 civilian casualties, according to U.S. officials. These are the people in the firing line.
We just live in the moment, and that's all.
Alina Kumbachsia is a fitness instructor who says nearly 8 years of Russian aggression has made Ukrainians immune to panic.
We don't know what will be, because this is not our decisions, and we don't want war.
Ukraine is now close to being encircled by Russian forces. And there's fear these intimidating military drills are a prelude to the Russians moving in. It's thought an invasion could start with airstrikes. Kyiv's subway system also serves as the Ukrainian capital's biggest bomb shelter.
The government of Kyiv says it has an evacuation plan, as well as preparations for maintaining electricity, heating and communications in case of an attack.
Back on John McCain Street, Konstantin Belotserkivsky told us he already has an emergency bag packed in case he has to run from a Russian attack.
The worst thing is you feel helpless, you know, so it's just a matter of is it happened or not. And that's it. The only thing you can do is wait.
Ukraine's demanding an urgent meeting with Russia in the next 48 hours, but says Moscow's ignored its request to explain why it's massed roughly 100,000 troops on Ukraine's border. Tony.
Holly Williams in Ukraine for us. Holly, thank you very much. The busiest border crossing between the U.S. and Canada is open once again after Canadian police moved out trucks and protesters who had blocked the Ambassador Bridge between Detroit and Windsor, Ontario. That protest, part of a larger protest against COVID restrictions. Our Chris Van Cleve is there at the border. Chris, good morning.
This morning, the Ambassador Bridge is back open to traffic and trade. After police broke the Canadian border blockade Sunday, arresting dozens of demonstrators and towing vehicles, ending a week of protest over the country's pandemic restrictions. Sunday's police sweep came after a court-issued deadline to clear the road Friday night.
Was there a safety concern yesterday? Because it sort of felt like you had a 24-hour staring contest with the protesters.
I certainly wouldn't call it a staring contest, but it was communication and dialogue between the police and the protesters involved.
Sarah Grove says she's been protesting against COVID-19 mandates for a year.
We felt that no matter what we do, these mandates are not going to end. And that's what this is about.
I'm tired of a lockdown too.
Ralph Paul Frack voiced his frustration at the protesters.
I love the protest, but I think it's gotten too long to the point where a lot of people are losing their job.
The Ambassador Bridge is back open, traffic moving in both directions. That is welcome news for the auto business. They faced shutdowns in several states and a financial impact estimated around $850 million. Analysts tell us it could take the supply chain months to catch back up. Michelle?
All right, Chris, thank you very much. At the Winter Olympics, Team USA has two new gold medalists this morning. One of them, Aaron Jackson, won gold in the 500-meter speed skating event, the first American to do so in nearly 30 years. Meanwhile, Russia's gold medal favorite in women's figure skating has been cleared to compete after failing a drug test in December. Jamie Yukas has more from Beijing.
15-year-old Kamila Valieva continued to practice over the weekend, occasionally in tears, as she awaited to learn if she can skate in the ladies' singles competition beginning Tuesday. Today, the Court of Arbitration for Sport announced it based its decision to allow Valieva to compete on the fact she's a minor and subject to protected status, and also because the results of her drug test were received so late. Stephanie Apstein is covering skating for Sports Illustrated and says another Olympics is being tarnished by Russian doping.
Yeah, this is what happens when the initial punishment is so light. It doesn't actually really dissuade anyone from doing what they were doing to begin with.
The doping controversy overshadowed a successful couple of days for Team USA. Kaylee Humphries took gold in the new monobob event, while teammate Alana Myers-Taylor took silver. Taylor emerged from a positive COVID test at the start of the games.
Headed for the line, Aaron Jackson is into the lead!
And speed skater Aaron Jackson blazed to gold and to history in the 500 meters. The former inline skater became the first black woman to medal in her sport.
Jackson's spot on the team was initially in jeopardy after she slipped during Olympic trials. But teammate and five-time world champion Brittany Bowe gave up her spot to guarantee Jackson a place on the team. How cool is that? And as luck would have it, Bowe got to compete anyway after the U.S. was given an extra spot in the 500. Michelle?
I love everything about that story, Jamie. Here's to Brittany and Aaron, two amazing athletes. Jamie Yukas in Beijing, thank you so much.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.